God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Today is May 28th, 2023, Memorial Day weekend, Pentecost Sunday, another day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it, another opportunity to gather together and seek the face of the Lord. So, last week I talked about letting your light shine. Week before that I talked about working for Jesus. And this message is going to touch on both of those things. But as I was driving down the road one day this week, I went past Keeler Bay, and they had a sign out that said, "Help Wanted." I said, you know, help is wanted in the church too. I got to thinking about so many different things going on in it. First off, where Jesus, well, we'll read it right now. Matthew 5 beginning with verse 30, or 9 beginning with verse 35. Says, "Then Jesus went about to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Jesus told the disciples to pray that God would send people out. If Jesus told his disciples to do that, first off, are we doing that? Are we praying for more laborers in the harvest? Are we praying for more people to go out and spread the word of God? I grew up in a Pentecostal church in South Florida. I remember the conflict between the Pentecostals and the Baptists, which hasn't changed. Well, we're called to lift up one another. We're called to pray one for another. We're called to encourage one another. And we're called to pray that the Holy Spirit begins sending out people, that He used the people He have. I was thinking about how being in the military, when I was in the Navy, we had a kind of inter-service rivalry with other branches of the service. Or even inter-service rivalry with other ships, you know, with other commands. But if somebody from the outside came against any of us, we were all willing to stand up and defend our brothers and sisters in arms. Well, that's an area that pagans, heathens, and I was definitely one of them, do a whole lot better than people in the church. Do we encourage and lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ that might be in a different church, in a different denomination, or do we try to find points of division? And I pray God none of us do that. I have been guilty in the past of talking disparagingly about another church until God opened my eyes on it. And, you know, I'm very straightforward about it. I had gone to a service at the church, and the sermon that day was the Super Bowl. And not being a sports fan, sermon about the Super Bowl was not anything that touched my heart, shall we say. And rather than go for another time or try and talk with the pastor about it for years, I would say that was what happened at that church. And it did happen at that church. But I'd never give them the benefit of the doubt. I'd never lift them up. I'd never encourage them. I'd never pray for them. And then one day it used to be CareNet, but is now Aspire Now. At their fundraising banquet, the lady that was our table host was sharing how her granddaughter had been very rebellious and had been such a difficult child. And one of her friends had invited her to go to church with her. And she went to church, and when she went to church, the Lord touched her. The Lord touched her heart and really changed her attitude, turned her around. And it was that same church that I had been disparaging. Lord, help me. Help all of us to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ, even though they may have a different way of doing things, a different attitude. Honestly, anybody that grabs onto one scripture and ignores others is preaching a false gospel. I pray to the Lord that's not me. But we can all fall short. When we ignore part of the Bible because it doesn't fit what's going on, that's a problem. But our issue has to be to lift one another up and encourage them and let God do the correcting. God is the one who can touch and change hearts. Y'all have heard me say many times, a conversation that starts with "you're wrong" is not going to go well. But God is working in us, and just like Keeler Bay Variety down the street and so many other businesses, help wanted, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. We need brothers and sisters in Christ spreading the gospel. We need one another to lift up and encourage them. And the way we do that is by encouraging them and reaching out and trying to build relationships. Let God do the fixing. Let's just start showing them we love them. Jesus said, "By this shall men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another." In John 4, verse 38, or verse 34 to 38, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. And in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." Jesus says we're all part of the same process. We're all part of the same goal of reaching out and being witnesses and being lights in the midst of the darkness, which we talked about last week, working for Jesus, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, all working together because there's a great need around us. We can look out. We can look at the newspaper. We can watch the television. You can just walk down some of the streets and see the wickedness going on around us and see how much people need Jesus. And we are called to encourage one another, lift one another up, pray for laborers in the harvest. Pray that there be more and more people. We can't do that if we spend any time at all tearing down other people. And like I said, guilty. But praise God, He is merciful. Praise God, He is at work. I remember many years ago, before I became the pastor of this church, I was speaking with a minister and his wife and talking about how I had been at a certain church and how the Lord really spoke to me through the message. And the response was, "You mean God can talk in that kind of church?" God used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. God used a pagan king to encourage another prophet. God can use anybody. So praise God. Let's begin lifting up one another. Let's begin encouraging one another, praying for that the Lord send laborers and the Lord of the harvest send out more laborers and lift them up and encourage them and strengthen them. In Romans 12, beginning with verse 3, it says, For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Imagine getting a letter from Paul. Just want to let you know you're a little high and lifted up. But we always have to examine ourselves when we read Scripture. How does my life line up in view of this? We can't look at the Scripture and say, "Boy, this would be good for Fred." We don't have a Fred anywhere in the congregation. This would be good for Fred. No. Have to look, Lord, help me to walk out your word. Help me to do what's right. But to think soberly, as God had dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. If you, I don't know anything about, or I know very little about people's work experience, but if you work at a place and you love your job, if you really love your job, it's a pleasure to be there. And it shows. It shows in your attitude dealing with other people. It shows in how we relate. It shows in how you talk about the company or the organization or whatever it is. It's just kind of bubbles out of you. Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we're going about being sour, being bitter, being unhappy all the time, remember, people are watching us all the time. If we're working for the Lord, if we are letting our light shine, and we recognize that there's a need for help for other laborers in the vineyard, how are we conducting ourselves to make what we do attractive? Granted, God has to draw them. I understand that. God is the one who gifts and calls people. But if our very attitude walking through life makes people want to, I don't know what's wrong with them, but I don't want to be around them, then it's going to reflect. And it's going to have an impact. Remember, the heaven is our destination, not our goal. Our goal is to get other people there. What are we doing as we go through life to reveal the grace that the Lord has shed abroad in our hearts? I praise God I'm not the person that I used to be. I talked about here coming up in August. One of my old friends, one of my old Navy buddies. I met him when I landed on him. There's the bunks were three high on the ship. And I was in the top bunk and he was in the bottom bunk. He had just came in the night before. And I looked out. There wasn't anybody there. I rolled out and landed on him. Our initial conversation was not pleasant. We are great friends today. But he knew me back when, and I knew him back when. And now we both serve the Lord. Praise God for the changes he makes in our life. Let them be evident. Let them show forth in all that we do and all that we say. Paul is talking here. He says, we have, having then gifts, verse 6, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. He says, your gifts are different. The way you do things is different. But that's on purpose. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Goes on, let love be without hypocrisy. If the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, it ought to impact how we relate to every person around us, even those who come in opposition to us. Because we're called to love our enemies, to pray for those who despitefully use you. Praise God. You know what that means? It means you're going to be hated and despitefully used, but it's on purpose. God is still at work. Where are we at? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Stop right there for just a minute. Giving preference to one another is lifting up one another and encouraging one another. It's like, God's taking care of me. How can I take care of you? Is there something you need? Is there a word of encouragement? Is there something I can do? How can I be a blessing in your life? That's what we're called to do, each and every one of us. Remember, we got that help wanted sign. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send out laborers in his vineyard. You know, you hear the commercials. You need Indeed. No, I need the Holy Spirit. But it has to be reflecting through me, because I can't be an obstacle or a stumbling block to somebody searching the Lord. I can't be a stumbling block or a burden to somebody who is struggling. I don't know the, I saw them not too terribly long ago. I don't remember the statistics. I know some people find that amazing that I remember some things and not others, but that's really the case. But every day, churches close. Every day, ministers walk away. Every day, Christians backslide. Every day, this is going on around us. This world is full of darkness. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. How are we reaching out? How are we being a blessing? How are we being an encouragement? Keeping in mind, we still need laborers in the vineyard, laborers in the harvest. Lord, touch them. Lord, draw people. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, and distributing to the needs of the saints, given the hospitality. He says we're supposed to be diligent, not just coasting through life, not just going on like, okay, I got this, and taken care of. But to be diligent, Lord, guide me, Lord, use me, Lord, help me, Lord, direct me, that I can be the light you've called me to be. I'm not going to read the next section, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 9, where Paul talks about talking to the Corinthian church about them. You're carnal because you're saying, I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos. Well, how about today? Well, I'm this denomination or I'm that denomination. We don't have anything to do with them. Oh, I can't go over there. I can't go, you know, to that event because that's a different church. You know, it happens. It happens today. It happens right around us. You know, Union Bible up the street has a couple of different outreach missions, ministries they do each year. And they'll have guest speakers come in, or they'll have different Bible conferences come in. Dr. Keogh is a wonderful man. He preaches out of the King James, and that's where he goes. And some people don't like it because of that. And some people don't like it because of other reasons. But what are we doing to encourage? What are we doing to lift them up? Not a lot of Bible-believing churches in the islands. They believe in the Bible. So let's lift them up and encourage them. In Colossians 3, beginning with verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Put them on. Lord, help me to walk in this. Are we tenderly merciful? If we're not, Lord, work it in me. Lord, work it in me. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. It says put it on. That's an act of will, an act of purpose. God, my life is not exhibiting this. I need you to work it in me. Seeking God. Lord, this is what your word tells me I need to be doing. Help me. Show me. Guide me. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as God forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So even as we talk about Scripture and as we discuss things with our brothers and sisters, it's got to first off be coming from an attitude of love, a position of love. This is what the Word says. Even going back, this is, you know, what it meant when it was written. And this is how I'm applying it in my life. But going from a position of humility is like, it talks in one place about entreating elders as fathers, entreating elder women as mothers, being respectful, coming before them, coming to, you know, even if you have an issue, even if you have something coming up, our attitude in approaching one another has to be in preferring the other above ourselves, has to be in lifting one another up and encouraging one another. Mark 9, beginning with verse 37. Jesus talking says, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." If we receive a little child in the name of Jesus, we're actually receiving God the Father. We think about that? Do we ever put that in practice in our life? Do we realize the implication of what we do? And John answered and said, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. We forbade him because he does not follow us." Jesus is walking on the earth. And they're like, "Oh, no, you don't go to our church. You can't do that. You don't go to our church. You're not allowed." Oh, praise God. 2,000 years later, we battle the same battles. We battle the same flesh. We see the same issues. Help wanted. We need laborers in the harvest. Praise God. But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me. And he who is not against us is on our side." Praise God. There are people that will never darken this church door. There are people that will never darken any church door. Praise God, there's street ministries. Praise God, there's other ministries. Praise God, we have laborers, co-laborers in the vineyard, in the harvest, in all sorts of environments, in all sorts of venue. Maybe it's a co-worker will get a chance to speak to them. Maybe it's a cashier at a grocery store. But we need one another. We need laborers in the vineyard. Help wanted. Jesus said, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest send out laborers into his vineyard." Send out laborers into the harvest. Keep going back to vineyard for some reason. I'm thinking of the parable where Jesus is talking about the vineyard owner, and he went and he hired people to go out and work at the beginning of the day, and he agreed on a wage, and they went out to work, and he went out later. It's like there's still more work to do, and he found more and sent them out and agreed on a wage and sent them out. And at the very end, even those that had only worked for an hour got the wage, and the first people got upset. "Why are you upset? Didn't we agree that this was a fair wage?" "Well, yeah, but they got the same thing." "Yeah, they did. But we agreed this is a fair wage. It's not up to us the reward someone else gets. What's up to us is to encourage one another and come together and work with one another and lift up the name of Jesus together, because the harvest desperately needs workers." Last passage. Philippians 1, beginning with verse 12. Paul, writing from prison, says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest that my chains are in Christ." And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident in my chains. Are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ for selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Paul said, even those who are going out preaching, hoping to cause me more trouble, are preaching. And God is using it. The God who promised to cause all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Even if somebody is out there preaching, if the Word of God is going forth, and we know that the Word of God is true, then that can stir in the heart of people. We didn't talk Sunday night. It was either Wednesday night or Thursday morning. It was just Steve and I meeting for a cup of coffee. Talked about how if the Word is inside you, the Holy Spirit can bring it to remembrance. If the Word's never getting in, it makes it so much more difficult. So even if somebody is speaking all the truth they know, God is able to touch and God is able to draw. And God is able to change people's doctrine. I know He's changed mine. God is able to stir in the hearts of people and to draw us by His Spirit. You remember, y'all don't remember, Jerry might have been here, Debbie was here. I don't know if any of the rest of you were here at the time. I was talking one Sunday morning, and we had a woman visiting who was the sister of a woman that was attending at the time. And as I'm talking about how when I was in the Ukraine, we were passing out Bibles. And as we're passing out Bibles, they're taking the Bibles and they're tearing them in half so that they can share them. And I said, how would you like to be the person that got the genealogies? And I said, but I realized what the genealogies teach us is that God knows where we come from. God knows our past and has a plan for our future. The genealogies reveal that He knows where we come from. Later, that woman, after she went home, called her sister and said, you know, this morning I was reading and I came to the genealogies and I said, God, why did you even put those in there? And your pastor answered the question. We don't know how God is going to use our words. We don't know how God is going to use our actions. But God has called us to be lights. He's called us to be encouragers. He's called us to lift one another up. And He's called us to pray for laborers for the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. How we conduct ourselves, we shine with the joy of the Lord. Do people see that we're happy with our job? Do people see that we're fun to be around? Maybe they wouldn't be a bad coworker. Or do we forget the fact that help is wanted? Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You are the one who has drawn us. We were all enemies of You. We were all separate from You by our sin. We were all separated and on our way to hell. And You met each and every one of us, and You drew us by Your Spirit. And You're at work in our hearts and in our lives, and You've called us to be lights. You've called us to be an encourager. You've called us, Father, to be a member of the body of Christ, bringing the supply and strengthening the whole body by what we bring. So help us, Lord. And help us, Father, to always be faithful to Your command, to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send out laborers. Because the harvest truly is plentiful and the laborers are few. Laborers get discouraged. Help us, Father, to encourage them. People quit. Help us, Father, to track them down and hunt them out. Hunt them down and just come up, approach them, and try to bring reconciliation. Help us, Father, to do the things that you have called us to do. That you be glorified in us and in all we are. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.